In this episode, I interview someone from my high school.
Hey there, Zane.
Oh, yes. It works.
All right, excellent.
All right, everybody, my man is here, Aryan Manglik. Welcome to the show. I just want to first, before we get started, I want to say I put down notes before all of my podcasts, and this is a couple words I put next to your name. I got music, Enviro, CompSci, Math, Zelda. I crossed it out. Then I put Nintendo underneath. Physics, all-nighters, theater, and politics right underneath it, man.
God, okay. I mean, that's a pretty good list of some of my interests. I mean, damn, you did your research. Okay.
Yeah, man. Like, I want to just explain. Whether you're listening here from the UAE, from Switzerland, I got cousins in South Africa, Holland, Pakistan, everyone's gonna hear this, man. But you could even be listening to this in a different time period. Like, you could be my grandkid listening to this. I don't, like, whoever it is, I just want to explain. My guess, let's say you're going out to, I don't know, you're going out to Broadway, you're going out to Hanover Theater, you're going to see a musical or a play. This is the type of dude I think you'd see right on front of the stage. You could see them at the Smash Bros. Tournaments nearby, the physics lab nearby, the rock samples you someone looking for, just like ocean, like geography, what's going on with our plants and animals in the ocean. A good friend from high school, Aryan Manglik. Welcome to the show today, my man. How you doing right now?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I tried this cool breakfast thing called an instant pancake, and I gotta say, didn't taste great, but still filling.
Yeah, man. Anyone who eats breakfast at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, he's got something going on. So
that sounds about right.
So, all right. Anyway, no, for real, I really thank you. This is and the weird coincidence is, look, man, yesterday, this is we just got out of 4th of July weekend. It's either the dog days of summer for you or it's the time of your life. I had a cousin come over from Canada. He had to actually then leave on Sunday. It was a great time to meet him, but then, you know, I get a little bit lonely. Then what do I know? I got someone else coming back from Canada. So my first question to you, Aryan, is what was going on in Canada this weekend?
So when we went to Canada, we went to Quebec, and in Quebec, the city, they're having what's called the Summer Festival. So they brought in a whole bunch of musicians. The streets are filled with people, all sorts of people doing street acts, and it was really cool getting to see like the music and cultural scene of Quebec all at once.
Okay. Yeah, you go with the family or like friends or?
So we went, it was just me and my parents, and we did meet up with some family friends along the way. And so we traveled around and we saw some of the cool waterfalls. There are a lot of waterfalls in Quebec.
You see any brown bears, some like, what's the wildlife over there like?
Oh God!
You were in the city, so maybe you didn't see anything.
Yeah, no, it's kind of unfortunate. I mean, saw some cool bugs.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Aryan, you were kind enough to come here when I asked, but I want to just, let's get serious. This is a tech show for Aryan and anyone who's never been here before. This is the Upstarts podcast. So we come here, we talk about technology, we talk about the issues, we talk about how this stuff could impact your life. And Aryan, specifically, I wanted to bring you on because you got some views about climate change, for one thing. And I want to get a little bit into that a little bit, and then we could branch off into whatever else. But just tell me from your perspective, you know, because we've talked a lot about climate change just in school and ever, but when you think about climate change as like a problem that we could actually solve in our lifetime, or if we don't solve it, it could pretty much end us. How do you even begin to think about like how, like where should we go with climate change in your two cents, you know?
So whenever anyone brings up climate change, my biggest point is always looking towards renewable energy, because when it comes to these kind of energy sources we're using, the sources that we're using are already just so highly inefficient. When we think about burning coal and burning oil, it takes up so many resources just to mine these things. And with depleting resources, we're going to even more extremes just to mine them. but we already have so many sources available, such as solar and wind power, which are so much easier to produce. They require a lot less energy to produce, and they will constantly produce this energy. Like, thinking about it rationally, there's no reason for us to continue using these old, dated coal and oil energies.
Right, right. I definitely see that. But, and the interesting thing is, when you hear, like, some billionaire, say, Bill Gates or Elon Musk, who says, we're going to go out, we're going to do this for climate change, we're going to save the planet, it's almost kind of, like, interesting, because you hear, I was just listening to a talk with Bill Gates talking about third world countries, right? And you always see, like, as countries industrialize, there's going to be pollution. Like, that's just history. They've always, when technology comes, there has to be something that's going to be done to the environment. In your opinion, do you think it's okay for, say, a country in Africa, just say a village in Nairobi somewhere, for them to start using fossil fuels, and then, or should everybody have to focus on just going switching to renewable energy, even though it may in the beginning be a little bit more expensive? Or should we have it like a balance where just the industrialized countries focus on going renewables, and then, you know, if you're a third world country, it's just whatever you need to do to industrialize, use that type of energy? Are you still there?
Hold up, I'm not dead, I swear. All right, I don't know how much you got, but when it comes to renewable energy, the thing is that you're right, it is a lot more of an investment for third world countries to get into renewable energy. But you know, with that investment, it's also really nice to get into renewable energy in third world countries, because say you set up some solar panels or you set up a wind turbine, you don't have to build as much of an electrical grid around that. Like, you don't have to be bringing in energy from all different places. It allows places to be self-sufficient. But the problem is that you have to get the money for that investment. And I think that's an area in which countries with a lot more resources available can help out with third world countries in a really meaningful and impactful way, to both help with climate change and then also to help them be more self-sufficient without having to import all this coal, import all this oil, and then waste so much time, energy, and resources just trying to get all of that to the place that it's needed.
Yeah, yeah. Did you hear about that? There was this black woman who was an entrepreneur, I think Harvard educated, maybe not even. And she went to, I believe she had a family in Senegal, and she went there one time for just a family meeting. And then she invented a soccer ball, which you kick it around during the daytime, and then it generates free, like, renewable energy for those kids who are kicking it around. And I loved seeing that kind of creativity, because there's also that, like, just X factor of innovation.
Yeah, and I mean, like, there are so many different ways to approach, you know, obtaining energy sources. Pretty much anything that moves can be harnessed and be turned into electrical energy through technology. So there's a lot of times I see with even, like, first world countries who have that ability to produce renewable energy, there's just so many excuses they make that are just kind of invalidated when you say, hey, here's this really cool way of making energy that's cheap and easy to produce. Why are we using this dated form of energy?
That's so true. And to shift that a little bit, because Arne, I think you're majoring in computer science, right? Yes. Yeah. So how does AI, like, how do you factor that into this? Because when you have an AI that can do this crazy amount of computation, I don't think, like, anyone can, like, who knows what's the limit on that type of capability?
So the kind of field I want to work in is called computational sustainability. And so what that field represents is taking complex computer systems and applying them to sort of the way we distribute electricity and the way we produce electricity in order to make it a lot more efficient. Like, say you have, if you have a large electrical grid and there's this whole network of places all your electricity needs to go to, through computing, we can find ways to make transporting that electricity to homes more efficient and to make sure we're not using excess energy or and to make sure that we're giving enough energy to these homes that they need.
Oh, dude, that's super important. Thank you for studying that. And that's, you're going to create, like, tons of jobs for that as well. Because, like, think about it. To make that kind of grid, you have to also have someone who's going to build the sensors to, like, get data on, like, where the energy use is going. I think I've read a blog or two about this as well. And then, like, yeah, Bill Gates, I think, heard that, like, energy grid modernization would be like one of the biggest wealth creators in the 21st century. So, my man, they say like Elon Musk, the real Iron Man. I got the Indian Iron Man with me today, folks.
Oh gosh. I mean, I hope I can do that much for the world at least.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, the other thing that I got two more questions like this, and this is like, we're getting to this part, the philosophical part of the show here.
All right.
One thing I like to hear about people is like, what is the vision, right? Like, how do people even get, that's one of my big questions. How do you get clear on what you want? And I found this one guy on Twitter. I found this one tweet, man. And when I read this, like, it completely blew my mind. So, Aryan, tell me, if you had all the money in the world, and you were free to do whatever you wanted, like, what would you go for?
I mean,
1, 2, 3 steps, man. Make it simple.
All right, steps. First of all, money is a great talker and a great influencer, you know. And one of the reasons in which we haven't been able to turn to more renewable sources of energy, you know, as part of the ultimate goal in my case with what I want to do is to slow down carbon emissions to the point that we can maybe avoid permanent damage to our planet, right? And
awesome.
And so one of the reasons it's hard to switch to renewable energy is in a lot of places, people who own coal, people who own oil, these people have a lot of money. And so they're able to lobby in governments. And what this lobbying does is it pressures governments to not switch to renewable energies and to promote coal or oil as a still safe alternative, which just isn't true. So,
oh yeah,
with extra money, you can refute that lobbying with lobbying for practices that do help reduce climate change and will have a beneficial impact. So first comes lobbying in government, because the government controls a lot of the times how we produce energy.
All right.
So first step, we got lobbying. Second step, we have to actually implement plans to set this up. We need locations where we can put this up. And so part of that is sort of, I guess you could call it data gathering and scanning, where you have to go over to places and be like, okay, here is a good spot for wind energy. Here's a good spot for solar. Here we can do geothermal. And so you have to actually set up the groundwork to use all of this renewable energy, right? Like I said, you got to set up the grids and you have to set up the systems to transport all that electricity. So after you get to that second step, then the third final step is to actually produce all of the systems that will create your renewable energy. And then because we're not producing as much carbon from all the electricity produced using fossil fuels, it will hopefully prevent us from reaching that that permanent damage threshold that the UN has told us about.
Yeah, the point of no return. Mm-hmm. All right, Aryan. I love the answer. 100% with you, man. I'm rooting for you all the way. I got one last, like, semi-serious question here. I'm just interested to hear, like, where your mindset is on this. If you won't be you, who will, man?
If I will be me, who will? Oh, jeez. When it comes to environmental participation, it's sort of tough because on one hand you wanna say, yes, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna make all the changes that we need, but then on the other hand, there are some things that we as the individual might have to sacrifice. And so if I'm not the one who's going into figuring out how we can make all these electric grids and how we can make a more efficient system, God, I can't really think of a single person. I think it's up to the next generation of people going into these STEM fields, going into computer science, these next generation people who, while before we've been focusing a lot on advancing the frontiers of human technology, and I think that's really important, but I think everyone who's involved in research and STEM fields really needs to take a step back and first guarantee that we'll have a planet to live on and a planet where we can research. So it's sort of up to this generation of people going into STEM and people going into research, and even in the arts is super influential in the environment. So the next generation of people who can hopefully come together and find a way to make solutions.
Wow, that was really thought out. Like I just found this is like Twitter is just where you find things like this, man. I just have to say, like, my answer to this question was, if you won't be you, who will? I just said, the you who will never be, man.
Oh, man.
And that's just how I think about it. Like, regret is the thing about it, you can't, if you just go all the way, if you're going to go for your dreams, you're never going to know, like, even if it doesn't work out, like, you're never going to know what the odds would have been because it's never happened. It's just got to go all the way.
Yeah, man.
All right, so we're jamming today, Aryan. Like I said, that was my last question. Thank you for coming on today. If you got anything, do you have anything else you want to talk about just like in the last 2-3 minutes on this show?
Oh, geez. Another important thing is, support the arts, you know? Like, I'm very happy that at our school, we have an amazing music department. And we've got bands, we've got theater, we've got all these great things. And I think it's really important to not skip over these things when you're working on funding or putting together the curriculum, because these are the sorts of things that don't just build, you know, the science skills, the math skills that are very useful, but also, you know, other social skills and building confidence. It's these sort of things that really help make a person, and it's these sort of things that'd be more influential. So support the arts, get into music, do some theater, I don't know, have fun. Oh. Everything all right?
Aryan, if you're still listening, hey, thank you for coming in one more time. Thank you guys for all listening to the episode's podcast. My name is Zane Raza. Come here more than once a week to bring you the goods, on tech, life, mastery, all these different things. I'll see you guys all next episode. Thank you for listening. And yeah, keep on jamming.
Keep on.